You know, Frost Bank is the oldest bank in Texas and one of the few banks that made it through, you know, all the horrible business that went through the 80s. But I mean, we're talking about an institution that's, you know, goes back over 100 years, and they're still growing and expanding. And now, $51 billion holding company, one of the 50 largest U.S. banks in asset size. And Phil Green has been running the show as chairman and CEO for the last 8 years and been a good steward. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, good to be with you, David. Always good to be.
Oh, it's always fun to catch up with you because you're growing. I mean, you're still growing, and you were one of the when everybody else was telling me, you know, all this business is going virtual and people are never going to come into the bank anymore and make deposits. I mean, you just opened up a new financial center in McKinney, and you've got greeters. I mean, like Walmart.
Hey, well, careful. I think our greeters look better than anybody's greeters. Let me just put it that way. I'm really happy with them, and they do a great job. Yeah, we take a lot of time in the client experience, and greeting is part of that.
So the model really is intriguing. I mean, because you're going after individuals, small business, mid-sized businesses, but you cater really to a fairly broad area.
We do, and you know, we've got customers who are, you know, well over $100 million in sales, and so we know how to do big business, and we do it well. But we have got a real wheelhouse business, I'd say, in commercial lending, commercial customers in the middle market, and we've got a developing expertise and success around consumers. And I think that's been one of the learnings that we've had from the expansion strategy, that we have gotten progressively better at that. And so we can go into some more consumer-related rooftop markets, if you will, and do extremely well there. And that's a new thing for us and very encouraging.
You have a unique insight into the consumer in that, you know if they pay their bills or not and how much they're squirreling away. And also your people talk to them all the time, so you know how they feel. And I don't know that I know how they feel. I see, you know, the high end seems to be doing well. The lower end of the economy seems to be doing worse than ever. And the middle, I just don't know about. What's your gauge?
You know, I think that that's basically true. You know, at the high end tends to prosper, low end tends to be more challenged. I think inflation might be one of the biggest factors impacting the low end. And we need to get a handle on that. And I think, you know, the Fed's been making some progress, and hopefully, you know, we'll continue to see progress there. I think consumers, particularly in our state, are doing reasonably well. I think that's because our job growth is there, and if people have a job, they tend to do well. I think wages have tended to go up. Again, inflation has taken a bite out of that, but you still have seen job growth and you've seen wage growth.
What about your business? Are you excited about the future? You've got interest rates that have come down a little bit. They've probably got to hit a brick wall here, I would think, coming up pretty soon. But you've also got an administration that's talked a lot about maybe taking some of the burden off the back of financial institutions and some of the restrictions.
You know, I feel great about our business and what I think about what it is that we're doing with this organic expansion and increasing in these communities. I use a couple of words. It is durable and it's scalable. You know, we're going to be doing that for a long time. With regard to, you know, what administration is there or not, what I'll tell you is we've been doing this strategy now for, gosh, I guess it's been 6 years. And, you know, we started it out in the Trump administration, and then we probably had 4 years. You know, we've had about 4 years in the Biden administration. So we've been successful in either regulatory environment. I expect us to be continue to be successful in the Trump administration. Yes, he has talked about reducing regulatory burden, not just for us, but for everyone. I think to the extent that we can get for business in general, less regulation and more clarity on what the lay of the land looks like, I think that'll be a good thing. And so I think that's a positive as far as the outlook goes. But, you know, the thing I'd tell you, David, is that, you know, administrations come and go, interest rates go up, interest rates go down. The one thing that we're most focused on is is developing new relationships, new customer relationships. That's what I wake up every morning thinking about. That's what we all report on every Monday morning. We're expanding into these markets. We're developing new relationships. It's going extremely well. And that's what we're going to keep doing.
You know, and you may grow it, maybe the expense of others, too. There was a Bloomberg article I was reading today that once again is calling for the imminent, you know, real estate collapse. It was something I've been hearing about 4 years, I think. But they're talking about it, you know, hitting some of the regional banks, some of the more aggressive regional banks particularly hard. And if that's true, you all have always been a conservative institution. I would think that you would. That might help your business.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope we're growing at the expense of our competitors, and I think that we are. We empirically have been taking market share, and that's always a good metric to see whether or not you're doing well competitively, and we are. As far as the commercial real estate impact on regional banks, you know, I don't want to make light of risk because, you know, we're in the risk business and you got to pay attention to it for sure. I tend to think that some of the, a bit of that's in our rearview mirror as it relates to commercial real estate. You know, there'll be some continued issues here and there. Let's take multifamily. As those projects, get close to a loan maturity and they haven't been able to lease up quite as fast because of supply, or, you know, their cash flow isn't quite what it was because interest rates and insurance and taxes are so high. But I think that that gets taken care of once these projects get stabilized. And there's plenty of capital to take them out for long-term financing or to sell them. And so I think those are going to get taken care of. So, you know, and another thing I'll say is it's really important who you bank, right? I mean, you need to make sure that you're banking people who've been through cycles, who know how to deal with things, know what the playbook is, are not surprised. And that's what we've been doing. So we've seen the performance of our portfolio be good, and I'm not worried about it at all.
The other thing that we've had as a great advantage is sort of the wind at our back. The Texas economy has been growing at a much faster rate than any place else in the United States for a long time. There's signs that that's slowing down. I mean, we've watched, you know, the housing market in Austin in particular beginning to contract and prices coming back here. I've seen surveys that say we've reached some equilibrium, about the same number of people are leaving here or the state as are in migrating right now and the growth. And it sounds like this is the time that we sit back and need to consolidate what we've got.
It's interesting. I haven't heard the same number leaving as coming. I've heard that there's a 500,000 people that are coming into the state each year. And so we've certainly seen, I think, growth. I really think that the economy continues to do really well. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of slowdown. I tell you what we did see slowdown, and maybe that's what's driving some of this, is in the 3 months leading up to the election, we did see loan volumes slow down, and the percentage of draws under lines of credit went down as a percentage, you know, maybe from the high 30s to mid 30s, if I'm remembering correctly. And I saw this in some of the boards that I sit on, that they saw evidence of this, that people were slowing down and we're waiting to see what the results of the election would be. You know, that's not unusual. I think that tends to happen. But I think they were really waiting to see what the results, because you had such a bifurcation, you know, a difference in what the regulatory environment would be. And people just weren't willing to lean into that uncertainty that way. Business doesn't react well to uncertainty. But I can tell you that after the election, anecdotally and also empirically, we've seen an increase. We've seen a pickup almost like on a dime. So it's like directionally back to where it was. So when I hear you talk about that the economy is slowing in Texas, and from my seat, that's not what I'm hearing. That's not what we're feeling, and actually not what we're seeing.
The interest rates have been going down pretty steadily, and there was an expectation of, you know, continued cuts. I guess we'll find out here in 48 hours what the Fed's going to do this time around. But there seems to be a growing feeling that that the economy is sufficiently strong that maybe this is the hawkish cut. This is the cut that takes place, and then the message after that is, well, we're going to sit back and wait for a while. What are your thoughts?
I agree with that. That's what I think will happen. And, I think that's reasonable. You know, there's a lot of, there seems to be some animal spirits that have been released, you know, and we'll see whether or not that has legs. But if it does, and we can, and the economy continues to be strong, there'll be less pressure, I think, to cut rates, because we're going to continue to have to fight against inflation and activity.
You know, you've been doing this for 40 years, over 40 years. Is there anything that they can throw at you that you haven't seen? I mean, we've been through a lot in a lot of different cycles in 40 years.
We sure have. You know, David, what I'll tell you is this. The longer I'm in business, and I've been in banking, I've been with this company for 44 years, the simpler and simpler it gets. You know, there are just a few things going on. It doesn't matter how many acronyms they tag on it. It doesn't matter how much mumbo jumble and hocus pocus. There's just a few things going on. And usually it deals with who's using whose money and who takes a loss if something bad happens. And so, you know, I think we've seen it. You know, it'll take a different form now and again, but usually in retrospect, you look back and it goes, oh, you know, that's kind of what was happening. You know, and it's something that we should have been paying attention to. So that's my view on it. Yeah.
Well, and it's a good view, especially when you go back to 1980. I think you were left on the doorstep of a Frost Bank in 1980, and Mr. Frost came out and decided to take care of you. Phil Green is chairman, CEO of Colin Frost Bankers. We always enjoy the visits. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, David.
Thanks for more of a conversation. Go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.